Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Okay. It's like if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who has received 5 talents went off and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents, but the one who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents.
Master, you handed me over to 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents.
Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents.
Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.
You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away.
So do you remember the show Extreme Makeover Home Edition? It was on from 2003 to 2012. It featured a house renovation crew that would go and do this miraculous renovation in 7 days' time. The people that were getting the renovation would then go on a 7-day all-expense-paid vacation. Some of you ladies might remember Ty Pennington, the host of the show. He wasn't hard to look at, I hear. Well, I'm happy to report, for those of you that are interested in the show or catching you up on the decade of pop culture, that HGTV has launched a reboot of the show. Now, what's most important about the show is not the fact that it's going back on, but what it did to transform the lives of the people whose houses they worked on. And not only did it transform the lives of the people whose houses they worked on, it transformed the communities that they were in for just a moment as well. So I want to give us a little glimpse of what that looked like and to remind us of the power of that gathering of people as they came to do that great project.
Thank you guys so much.
We love every one of you.
So I want all of you to rush out for the casting call for that, all right? Now, of course, in the midst of what you see there, and if you can recall that show or any time, there's a massive transformation. You know, there's a few people who kind of get the accolades for the experience, and there's a few people that might have the house to live in afterwards. But, of course, it takes a bunch of people, right, behind the scenes to make it happen. And you can see it in the midst of those pictures or other times where there's a crowd of people that have gathered to help. They've been organized through churches and other volunteer organizations. They've come together to help renovate these homes in this amazing time. And what they did is they gave them themselves to help others experience a better life than they had before. Now, the experience that they provided for the people in the show isn't just about the people who had the skills to do it, the skilled laborers, right? It takes all of the people that were there. Every one of the persons who contributed to the building of the home did something to invest their time, maybe invest some skill they had, maybe to invest some finances in helping the family before the renovation. They gave of themselves to see this miraculous thing happen in the life of these families. And this was a life-changing event for these families, not just because they got a beautiful new home, but because of where they came from. Many of these homes were unsafe. Many of these homes were uninhabitable, really, and it would be conditions that we would never let anybody in our lives live in, but they had no other choice at times. And so they would find themselves getting this miracle put into their laps, as it were. Now, the reality is that a few people got famous for being on the show, and the reality is that that's part of television, but the other side is that there's a lot of people who are a part of this, these renovations that never got famous. They actually did this for noble and pure reasons, which was to help people in their neighborhood, to help the people that were in need. And they saw this opportunity to use their gifts to make the world a better place. These aren't just the financial gifts, in this case especially. These are more than just that. In fact, actually, the dedication of the time that they had to these things was one of the biggest gifts. Now, some of them had skills, and you can find whether it's this event or other times, it takes skilled laborers to make some of these things happen. But what really matters is that it was everybody who came together gave the gifts that they had to give so that they could find their way through to making this great thing happen. Now, it's not just, of course, in a renovation show, although we watch plenty of those in our home. And it's not just in a situation that gets on TV where people are using their gifts. It's in everyday life as well, where we use our gifts to help people experience a better life. And this is what God wants us to be about too, right? God wants us to be there to use and help other people with our finances, our time, and our skills to help make the world a better place. Now, not just a better place, but the place that God wants it to be. And that's what God wants us to do with the gifts that God has given to us. God calls us to invest those gifts in the world. God doesn't want to limit it to just the finances we have. God wants us to also think about our time and our skills as gifts that God has given to us as well. Now, God is pretty serious about this call to use the gifts in our lives that we have. And God takes some time to make sure that we understand both first that these are gifts that God has given to us, but also just how serious that this is that God wants us to use the gifts. There's this particular story that we heard from our teenagers a minute ago where Jesus is teaching his disciples about what it means to use the gifts for God's purposes in the world. This is the parable that we just heard, the story of the servants with the talents. Now, this is one of those stories that kind of maybe is etched in your mind in many ways, and this is a story that if you're hearing for the first time, you might be thinking to yourself, wow, there's some harshness in this. And we're going to get to some of those things in just a minute. But the first thing that I want to just offer about this story to help us understand better this teaching that Jesus gives is that Jesus is giving this teaching to a small group of people. Jesus has his 12 disciples and probably some others that are with him. And this is towards the end of his ministry. And the reality is that this is a teaching that he's giving to a private group of people. There's other times where Jesus gives teachings that are public and that are going out into anybody and everybody. But this teaching comes as a series of teachings that Jesus is giving just to his 12 disciples and probably the women that were there to help them with dinner. Because, you know, right, 13 guys getting together for dinner at that time in world history, there probably were a few ladies around to help. Also, I got to tell you, we think that some of the women that were with Jesus were actually his disciples, but they didn't get let into the pages of history, so we got to go back and kind of, you know, add up a few. But the reality is that Jesus wasn't broadcasting this particular teaching to a full mainstream audience. Jesus was giving this as kind of a leadership principle and lesson to the people that he was with. And that's important because they would have understood the context in which Jesus was teaching better than the crowds that had gathered. They would have known that you should take this parable and put it into conversation with everything else that Jesus had been teaching to understand that the master in the story, while driving after something important, shouldn't be taken as a literal extension of how we're to see God. If we want to know how to see who God is, we want to look at what Jesus did. not at the actors, not at the people in the stories. But there's something really important that God is driving after through the story of Jesus, as we'll see. So just to recap this story just a little bit, we've got a servant, three servants and a master, and it says slaves because we're unsure whether they would have been paid or unpaid. It's debatable in this circumstance. But we had a master who was going off for an unspecified amount of time, and he brings three trustworthy servants together, and he says, I'm going to give you 5 talents, I'm going to give you 2 talents, and I'm going to give you 1 talent. And it says there that he entrusts them with this talent. Entrusting someone with a talent means that he thinks that you're going to put it to good use. And so the master then goes away, and the servants get to work. The first one is the guy with the 5 talents, and he goes and trades it, and he makes 5 more. The second guy goes and trades it, and he makes his 2, and he makes 2 more. But the third guy, that poor guy, right, what does he do? He buries it in the ground. Now, this may, on the surface, not strike us as being something terribly important, but the reality is that they were given a large sum of money. So I want to just ask you to look with me for a moment at the screen. You'll see there the word talents. Everybody got that? Say, yes, I see talents. All right. Yes, I see talents. Super. All right. You see that little E next to it? For those of you that are under the age of 15, that's a footnote, okay? Now, these actually come up on digital platforms as well, and I don't mean, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have made a joke about that age-wise, but if you're looking at your Bibles, whether it's in a print Bible or an electronic version, there's going to be a footnote there. If you're looking at an electronic version, you can tap or click on it, and it's going to pop up right there. If you're looking at a hard copy version, we know what to do. You look for the footnote, and you go to the bottom. And when you look to the footnote, it says that a talent was worth about 15 years of wages. Now, that's a lot of money any time in human history, right? 15 years of wages all at once. But it is an extraordinary amount of money for anybody who wasn't wealthy back in that age. And really, back in that age, almost everybody, like 99.99% of the world, was poor. So only a 0.01% were wealthy, who wouldn't have been worrying about their day-to-day money or their day-to-day food. And so for these servants, even if they were well-kept and well-cared for them to have that much money, it was huge. Now, to put that in mathematical perspective, and I did the math ahead of time this time, because a few of you who are like CPAs or like Excel wizards have reminded me that I should not do math up front without preparing ahead of time. It's embarrassing when you get those emails and you're like, oh my gosh, I have graduate degree education and I can't do math. Anyways, so we've got the one with 5 talents. That would have been 75 years of wages. More than double a person's working lifetime income. All at once to invest. 2 talents, 30 years of wages, more or less an entire lifetime of working given to be managed all at once. And then you had 1 talent, 15 years of wages. It doesn't sound like a lot in comparison, but like if you had that and were entrusted with that, you would have known you had made it. And so then the master comes back and he settles up the accounts. And we know what happens, right? The one with 5 says, I'm the best. Look at this. I doubled your money. And the master goes, well done, good and faithful servant, to whom a little is given, and the faithful with it, more will be given. The second one comes up to him and says, I took your 2 and I doubled it. How great is that? And the master goes, well done, you get the promotion, all right, you get the corner office, you know, we're excited about what you've done here, and you've been faithful, and I'm going to give you more. And the third guy comes up, and this isn't in the text, but I just imagine that he was really embarrassed after all this, right? That he came up, and I imagine that he had mud under his fingernails still, because we know what he just did. He went to go dig it up when the master arrived, because they didn't know when he was coming. And I imagine that he was embarrassed. He would have been stuttering. I don't think he would have made eye contact with the master. And he probably would have just lifted it up and said, here's your 1 talent back. You know, I know you're harsh and you reap where you do not sow, that you take other people's monies you didn't earn. So I just buried it. so you wouldn't be mad at me for wasting it or losing it. And the master gets really mad, doesn't he? He calls him wicked and lazy. He says, if you thought that's who I am, why didn't you even put the money in the bank? He said, you could have put it in a low-interest CD and just gotten a few returns. It's a great time for a CD investment, right? They had banks back then. They didn't have CDs, but he could have put it in and gotten some interest on it. And he said, at least then you would have used it properly to some degree. But he said, you have been so unfaithful. You've been wicked. You've been wicked and lazy. And here's what's going to happen to you. I don't want to ever see you again because you wasted the gift that I have given to you. And he kicks him out. It's a little harsh, right? You got the two that are lifted up as good examples, but then you got this other guy who's kicked out. And you've got this preacher who has kids who constantly get him sick. I'm so sorry, I'm going to get some water. You know, any of you who are parents, you know what I'm talking about, or anybody really, but just yesterday, my wife told me, you really need to get rid of these plastic water bottles up here. And I'm like, okay, we'll see about that later. And he said, you wicked and lazy servant, you wasted the gift. Now, here's the thing. In this harshness, this is where we got to draw the line between how the master acted and how God acts towards us. This is the difference, is that God will give us all the chances we need to get it right. God will continually give us the opportunities we need to use our gifts. That's grace. That's forgiveness. This master throws the guy out after one mistake, it seems like. And so when we look at God's grace for us and the action of the master, I think what we can look to is not how the master acted to think how God acts, but rather the teaching can point to us just how serious God is about us using our gifts. That God gives us all opportunities to use our gifts, and that God really wants us to use them. Somebody doesn't give you a gift so you don't use it, right? How embarrassing it is when somebody gives you a gift card as a gift and you never use it, right? You never tell them, like, come on, don't raise your hand right now. Like, you never tell them I didn't use that gift card, but we've all done it. There are millions and millions of dollars of unused gift cards given at Christmas every year. A gift's meant to be used. And God gives us gifts to use for God's purposes in the world, and God is serious about us using them. God is serious about using them because God wants you, God wants me, God wants all of us to use the gifts we have been given to do God's work in the world. Because God has given us the gifts that we need to do the work God has given us to do. God has given you exactly what you need to do so you can do God's work in the world. So whether it's 5 talents or 2 talents, or 1 talent, whether it's the skills you need, whether it's the time you need, God has given to us what we need. God wants us to be good, and God wants us to be productive in our use of the gifts. If the one servant was wicked and lazy, then God is encouraging us to be good and productive with our gifts. Because here's what's at stake. God has given you, God has given me exactly what we need to do our job, to do our part of God's work in the world. And God wants each one of us to use the gifts that we have, not the gifts that somebody else has. We don't want to have gift envy or skill envy or time envy. We want to look at how many gifts we have. And God wants us to use those because God is counting on you to do your part. God's counting on me to do my part. God doesn't want me to do your part. God doesn't want you to do my part. And some of you are like, I'm never going to get up there, so don't worry about that one. God wants you to take your gifts and use them. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, I don't have any gifts, and that's not true. You have gifts. You have finances that God has given to you. You have skills that God has given to you. If you're here today, you have time that God has given to you. Being here is part of using that time well. Each of us have gifts to use, and you know what? Someone is counting on you to use your gifts to do God's work in their life. This church is counting on you to do your part with your skills to do your job. You might be saying to yourself, like, well, I'm not as good as that person over there. You know what? They're not here. Who's here? You're here. God wants you to use your skills. You might say to yourself, well, somebody over there, they're better at it. This is something that I struggle with, too. Like, there are better preachers than me. Every once in a while, when Amanda gets up here, I'm like, oh, boy, I can't even get up there next week. Or we have a guest preacher, and I'm like, they're going to get invited back, and I'm not, you know? It just happens on occasion, right? But you know what? They're over there, and you're here. And we need to do your part. Now, if you have a skill, we need you to use that skill. If you're like there's other people who have that same skill, guess what? You're going to be on a team with those people. Because sometimes it's not just one person and one skill. It's a group of people with the same skill working together. God wants you to use that skill to do God's work in the world. God wants you to be productive and good with the use of our gifts. Now, the gifts that God has given to us, as you know, are the gifts of finances and the gifts of time and skills. And so to help us remember what God wants us to do, I made up this acronym. This is super awesome, by the way. So, that's not what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, if this is helpful to you, awesome. If it's not, just forget I ever showed it to you. So here's what it is. God wants us to use our gifts, and gifts can stand for Go Invest, Finances, Time, and Skills. Can we read that together? Ready? Here we go. Go Invest, Finances, Time, and Skills. In case you ever forget that it's all three things, God's gifts are not just finances. God's gifts are time and skills as well. Now, for the last little bit of time, I want to focus on that last one, skills. If you're not sure what skill, gift, or ability you have that can contribute, ask someone what you're good at. And if you're maybe a teenager and you're not sure what you're good at yet, just give it time or ask your parents or ask your teacher, what am I good at? If you're older than a teenager and you're like, what am I good at? Ask somebody. Don't be shy. Because you know what? People that know you will know what you're good at. People who know you will know what you're good at. And when you come alive, when you're using those gifts, when you're using those skills. And when you can point out to someone what their skill is, or if you know what your skill is, then that's what God wants you to use. Sometimes we get caught up thinking these skills are just all these spiritual things, you know, that it's preaching or counseling or whatever it might be, or that it's apostleship or church planning. You know what? No. It's those things, but it's also more. Eli is too embarrassed to tell you, but you know one of the things he's really good at? Is Excel. Whew. You know what Chris Jakowski is really good at? Excel. You know those fancy graphs we have for the AV report? That's because somebody used their skills to help us better understand where God is calling us to go. Sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's practical. Sometimes it's on your own, sometimes it's with the team. But God wants us to use our skills. Our skills are gifts from God. In this church, this body of Christ is counting on you to use your skills. God wants you to give what you have to give. God doesn't want us to give what somebody next to us has to give. God wants you to give what you have to give. And not only is this church counting on you to give, but our neighbors are counting on you to give your gifts. We've talked about our neighbors. We know our neighbors. We know our neighbors because we live with them, we work with them, we talk to them. We know that people are broken. How do we know that people are broken? Because we're broken. It isn't just about doing what we're supposed to do as a church for ourselves. It's also about doing what we're supposed to do as a church for others. So it's not just the persons who are here that are already a part of our church. It's also our neighbors that are counting on us to use our gifts. God is really serious about us using our gifts. So let's go and invest our gifts. Let's go and use our skills so that the world can become the place that God wants it to be and so that we can be the people God wants us to be. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.